BBC Audio presents a collection of captivating documentaries which paint a multifaceted portrait of Japan, from its famous historical figures to its diverse cultural landscape. In part one, we investigate the history of this unique country, exploring both its rich heritage and deep reverence for custom, ritual, and tradition. First up, in Japan in Five Lives, presenter Christopher Harding profiles five important historical figures. He begins with Daimatsu the demon Hirobumi, the women's volleyball coach at the 1964 Olympics. First broadcast on BBC Radio 3 on the 26th of July, 2021.
When I was a child, many a weekend morning used to begin with me sat in the lonely pre-dawn chill of our suburban living room, waiting for our big, boxy television set to warm up. Eventually, the thick grey glass would come alive with the image of a spaceship, shaped like a Celtic cross, rising majestically through a dark void, shot through with beams of moody celestial light. The Odyssey, as it was called, was commanded by a lightsaber-wielding hero named Ulysses. His mission, to seek out the kingdom of Hades, revive his cursed crew, and return everyone safely home to Earth. The most obvious Japanese contribution to this animation series, Ulysses 31, made in France and Japan, was a series of technical innovations borrowed from manga and anime, Japan's distinctive comic books and animated films. These included intense close-ups, rapid panning shots. Characters' personalities and relationships developed as much through pauses and glances as through cumbersome dialogue. But what really made Ulysses special was the coming together of ancient Greek and Japanese cosmologies, each attuned in its way to the role of fate and of forces natural and supernatural in shaping human life. The result was a thrilling sense not just of the grandeur, but also the strangeness of space. I was accustomed to Judeo-Christian talk of the cosmos as creation. That made it feel personal, purposeful, and in some deep sense as though it were there for us. Now I found myself wondering whether I really belonged there, or rather here. Were these feelings perhaps a faint late 20th century echo of the unease experienced by Westerners encountering Japan back in the mid-19th century? Some of them had bought into a thrusting European imperialism that dismissed talk of fate or supernatural forces as a mere cover story used by second-rate cultures blighted by laziness and inertia. They regretted the way that Japan's stunning natural landscape appeared to suffer from a kind of spiritual overcrowding. All manner of deities, demons, spirits and goblins, jostling with one another and encouraging a sense of human powerlessness. Other Westerners developed a certain sympathy for Japanese understandings of belonging in the world, as more akin to shared tenancy than outright ownership. Our view of the world inevitably shapes our view of ourselves and our society, captured in two fundamental questions. Who am I? And who are we? As a historian, one of the most exhilarating things about Japanese answers to these questions, across the country's long history, is their relative freedom from the narrative arc provided by Christianity, of redemption, or its modern successor, progress. People across the centuries in Japan have managed to launch themselves into fresh and sometimes radical rethinks, seeing the past as a resource on which to draw, rather than as chapters in a story that they must continue faithfully to tell. One of the best ways to see all this at work is in people's lives. There's an expression in Japan, kuchibakari, all mouth. That powerful preference for example over rhetoric is going to be my guide in this series of the essay. I want to introduce you to five people who've pushed Japanese self-questioning onwards, helping to transform or regenerate a country sometimes
Sample complete. Ready to continue?